ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. With text 45 and 46, which is there? The 46 is there, no? Okay, he wrote me 45 and 46, but 44 is here. All right. That was yesterday, no? I remember he's talking about Suvrata, Agam. Today is 45 and 46. So it's not written, so we'll just chant it ourselves. Putram bi pratikulan swan pitara putra vatsala upalabdante shikshartam naivagam aparo yata. A father and mother are very affectionate to their children. When the children are disobedient, the parents chastise them, not due to enmity, but only for the child's instruction and welfare. How did Hiranyakashipu, the father of Prahlad Maharaj, chastise such a noble son? This is what I am eager to know. Then 46. Kim utana vasam sadums tadrisham guru devatan etat kotuhalam brahman asmakam vidama prabho pitu putraya yadvesho maranaya prayojita. Maharaj Yudhishthir further inquired, how is it possible for a father to be so violent toward an exalted son who was obedient, well-behaved and respectful of his father? O Brahmana, O Master, I have never heard of such a contradiction as affectionate fathers punishing his noble son with the intention of killing him. Kindly dissipate our doubts in this regard. Purport. In the history of human society, an affectionate father is rarely found to chastise a noble and devoted son. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhishthir wanted Narad Muni to dissipate his doubt. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta Purports of the 7th canto, 4th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe. So next chapter we'll get the answer to Maharaj Yudhishthir's questions. Hare Krishna. So today is the disappearance day of Srila Ramananda Roy. So we'll devote the balance of the class to Ramananda, discussion of Ramananda Roy. It's also the day that our Krishnadas Kaviraj completed Chaitanya Charitamrita. He did that in Radhakund. There's a very beautiful Bhajan Kutir, Krishnadas Kaviraj Bhajan Kutir. Today at noon there'll be a big feast there if anybody wants to go. Unfortunately, I'm not in a condition to travel or feast. So it's at Krishnadas Kaviraj's Bhajan Kutir in Radhakund. There's a big feast today for the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So we'll be reading from Madhya Lila, chapter 8, starting with sloka number 11. When Mahaprabhu saw the river Godavari, the Lord remembered the river Jamuna. And when he saw the forest on the banks of the river, he remembered Sri Vrindavan Dham. After performing his usual chanting and dancing for some time in this forest, the Lord crossed the river and took his bath on the other bank. After bathing in the river, the Lord walked a little distance from the bathing place and engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna. At that time, accompanied by sounds of music, Ramananda Roy came there on a palanquin to take his bath. Many Brahmins following the Vedic principles accompanied Ramananda Roy. According to Vedic rituals, Ramananda Roy took his bath and offered oblations to his forefathers. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that the person who had come to bathe in the river was none other than Ramananda Roy. The Lord wanted so much to meet him that his mind immediately began running after him. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was running after him mentally, he patiently remained sitting. Ramananda Roy, seeing the wonderful sannyasi, then came to see him. Srila Ramananda Roy then saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be as brilliant as hundreds of suns. The Lord was covered by a saffron garment. He was large in body and very strongly built, and his eyes were like lotus petals. When Ramananda Roy saw the wonderful sannyasi, he was struck with wonder. He went to him and immediately offered his respectful obeisances, falling flat down like a rod. The Lord stood up and asked Ramananda Roy to arise and chant the holy name of Krishna. Krishna! Krishna! Indeed, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very eager to embrace him. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then inquired whether he was Ramananda Roy, and he replied, "Yes, I am your very lowly servant, and I belong to the Sudra community." Now this is very interesting, because actually, I don't think I'll ever understand the caste system. Varnashram I can understand. But technically, Ramananda Roy was a Kayasta, which is a Vaishya, I believe. But somehow or other, according to the caste system, he was a Sudra. So I'll never forget, just like Raja Krishnananda, the father of Narottam, he was a Raja, he was a king, so he should be a Kshatriya, but he was considered a Shudra, according to the caste system. So this caste system is such a convoluted thing, I'll never understand it in this lifetime. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then embraced Sri Ramananda Roy very firmly. Indeed, both the master and the servant almost lost consciousness due to ecstatic love. That natural love for one another was awakened in both of them, and they embraced and fell to the ground. When they embraced each other, ecstatic symptoms, paralysis, respiration, tears, shivering, paleness and standing up with the bodily hairs appeared. The word Krishna, Krishna came from their mouths falteringly. Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna,
Krishna. When the stereotyped ritualistic Brahmins who were following the Vedic principles saw this ecstatic manifestation of love, they were struck with wonder. All these Brahmanas began to reflect as follows. The Brahmins thought, "We can see that this sannyasi has a luster like the effulgence of Brahma. But how is it that he is crying upon embracing a Sudra, a member of the fourth caste of the social order? They thought this Ramananda Roy is the governor of Madras, a highly learned and grave person, a Mahapandit, but upon touching the sannyasi, he's become restless like a madman. While the Brahmanas were thinking in this way about the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw those outsiders and restrained his transcendental emotions. When they regained their sanity, they both sat down and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and began to speak as follows. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke of your good qualities, and he made a great endeavor to convince me to meet you. Indeed, I have only come here to meet you. It is very good that without even making an effort, I have gotten your interview here. Ramananda replied, Sarvabhauma thinks of me as his servant. Even in my absence, he is very careful to do good to me. By his mercy, I have received your interview here. Consequently, I consider that today I have become a successful human being. I can see that you have bestowed special mercy upon Sarvabhauma. Therefore, you have touched me, although I am an untouchable. This is only due to his love for you. You are the Supreme Personality Godhead, Narayan himself, and I am only a government servant interested in materialist activities. Indeed, I am the lowest amongst men of the fourth class. You do not fear the Vedic injunction stating that you should not associate with a Sudra. You were not contemptuous of my touch, although in the Vedas you are forbidden to associate with Sudras. You are the Supreme Personality of God himself. Therefore, no one can understand your purpose. By your mercy, you are touching me, although this is not sanctioned by the Vedas. You have come here specifically to deliver me. You are so merciful that you alone can deliver all fallen souls. It is a general practice of all saintly persons to deliver the fallen. Therefore, they go to people's houses, although they have no personal business there. Along with me, there are about 1,000 men, including the Brahmins, and all of them appear to have had their hearts melted simply by seeing you. I hear everyone chanting the holy name of Krishna. Everybody's body is thrilled with ecstasy, and there are tears in everyone's eyes. My dear sir, according to your behavior and bodily features, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is impossible for ordinary living beings to possess such transcendental qualities. The Lord replied to Ramananda Roy, sir, you are the best of the topmost devotees. Therefore, simply the sight of you has melted everyone's heart. Although I am a Mayavadi sannyasi and non-devotee, I am also floating in the ocean of love of Krishna simply by touching you. What to speak of others? Sarvabhauma knew this would happen, and thus to rectify my heart, which is very hard, he asked me to meet you. In this way, each of them praised the qualities of the other, and both of them were pleased to see each other. At this time, a Brahmin Vaishnava following the Vedic principles came and offered obeisances. He fell flat before Sri Chaitanya and invited him for lunch. Mahaprabhu accepted the invitation, knowing the Brahmin to be a devotee, and slightly smiling, he spoke as follows to Ramananda Roy. I wish to hear from you about Krishna. Indeed, my mind is inclined to desire this. Therefore, I wish to see you again. After finishing his evening bath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down and waited for Ramananda Roy to come. Then Ramananda Roy, accompanied by one servant, came to meet him. Ramananda Roy approached Lord Krishna and offered him respectful obeisances, and the Lord embraced him. Then they began to discuss Krishna in a secluded place. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Ramananda Roy, recite a verse from the revealed scriptures concerning the ultimate goal of life. Ramananda Roy replied, if one executes the prescribed duties of his social position, He awakens his original Krishna consciousness. This is a verse from Bhagavatam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of varna and ashram. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must be situated in the institution of the four varnas and ashramas. Also a slok from Bhagavatam. Although this is Shastra Praman, the Lord replied, Eho Bhaya. This is external. This only has to do with this body. We're Brahmins, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, Brahmacharis. This is only referring to this material body. So Eho Bhaya, this is external. You had better tell me of some other means. Ramananda Roy replied, to offer the results of one's activities to Krishna is the essence of perfection. My dear son of Kunti, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer in sacrifice, whatever you give in charity, whatever austerities you perform, all the results of such activities should be offered to me, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is our favorite verse from Bhagavad Gita, Yajahosi, Yajahosi. But, this is one of our favorite verses of Bhagavad Gita, Mahaprabhu says, Eho Bhaya, this is external. Please proceed and speak further on this matter. Ramananda Roy replied, to give up one's occupational duties in the Vanasram system is the essence of perfection. Occupational duties are described in the religious scriptures. If one analyzes them, he can fully understand their qualities and faults and then give them up completely to render service under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a person is considered a first-class man. Then he quotes our favorite sloka that we know, backwards, forwards, upside down, even sound and asleep. If somebody says in 18th chapter, what is that famous verse? Even in your sleep, Sarvaram Pritya Mamikam Saranam Brita Hung Twam Sarva Papivyo Moksha Ishami Masucha. After giving up all kinds of religious occupational duties, if you come to me, the Supreme Personality Godhead, and take shelter, I will give you protection from all life's sinful reactions. Do not worry. But, most surprising, this is our most famous verse. After hearing Ramananda Roy speak in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again rejected. Eho Bhaya. This is external. Go ahead and say something more. Ramananda Roy then replied, devotional service mixed with empiric knowledge is the essence of perfection. According to Bhagavad Gita, one who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman, becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward every living entity. In this state, he attains pure devotional service to me. After hearing this, the Lord as usual rejected, considering to be external devotional service. He again asked Ramananda Roy to speak further, and Ramananda replied, pure devotional service without any touch of speculative knowledge is the essence of perfection. Jai Sisi Gornitai Krishna Baldao Sisi Radha Shamsundar Lati Jibisaga. From Brahma's prayers. Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, those devotees who have thrown away the impersonal conception of the truth and have therefore abandoned discussing empiric philosophical truths should hear from realized devotees about your holy name, form, pastimes, and qualities. They should completely follow the principles of devotional service and remain free from illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, animal slaughter. Surrendering themselves fully with body, words, and mind, they can live in any ashram or social status. Indeed, you are conquered by such persons, although you are unconquerable. This is a verse from, it's 14th chapter of 10th canto, Lord Brahma's prayers. Jnane prayasam mudapasya namandeva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadivartam stane stita srutikatham tanuman manovir ye praya so jita jito pasitai strilokyam. Jnane prayasam. Prayas means to attempt. So this attempt by jnana and karma, Udapasya. On the tape, Prabhupada says, Udapasya means kick it out. Udapasya, kick it out. This attempt, prayas, by jnana and karma, kick it out. Jnane prayasam udapasya namanta eva. Jivanti sanmukaritam. Jivanti, one should lead his life what? Sanmukaritam. In Sanskrit, when a T comes before an M or an N, it becomes an N. So sun means sat. Sat means a devotee, because devotee is always speaking satya, the truth. Mukaritam, we can understand muk, huh? Sanmukaritam bhavadiyavartam. We should hear from the devotees bhavadiyavartam. Your bharta. Bharta means chat. Just like everybody's busy on Facebook chatting, on Messenger chatting, on WhatsApp chatting. Everybody's chatting and chatting about so many useless nonsense things. But Lord Brahma says, Bhavadiya, we should chat about you. Bhavadiya Vartam. We say Bhartalab, chat. Bhavadiya, we should talk about you. We should hear, rather we should hear about your talks, your chats. From Satmukaritam, from the mouths of the devotees. Bhavadiyavartam, Sanmukaritam, Bhavadiyavartam. Stane stita. It's like we heard this word stan, just like there's Rajasthan, before there was, and there's Hindustan and Pakistan, and before there was only Soviet Union, but Soviet Union broke up, and then so many stans appeared, Baluchistan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Kazakhstan, and I don't know, so many stans appeared, Turkmenistan. So stan means place. Stane stita. Is that we heard stita dir muni. Stita, to remain. Stane, remain in your place. This Krishna consciousness does not require you give up your house and you go to the Himalayas and sit in the ice in the winter time and in the fire in the summertime. No. Stane sita, whatever you're doing, whatever your position, whatever your work is, you continue doing your work. Whatever position you have in society, stane sita, you remain in your house. But shruti katam, you go on hearing. This is the secret. Everything else, Mahaprabhu said, eho baya, even our most famous verse, sarvadharmam prija, we know this verse. This is our famous, most favorite verse. He said, eho baya. Because first of all, we have to hear. How will we surrender to Krishna if we don't know who is Krishna? Somebody's saying Shiva's God, somebody's saying Durga's God, somebody's saying Ganesh is God, somebody's saying Hanuman is God. We have to sanmukari, hear from the mouth of the, how we can surrender if we don't know who to surrender to. This is the most important verse. Jnani prayasam udapasya namandeva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadivartam stane stita shrutikatam tanuman manobir. Tanuman, ton means his body. Especially after 45 or 50, it weighs a ton. So we say ton. Ton, man, heart. Van, vach, words. By our body, namanta, this refers back to the word before, namanteva. We should always, with our body, mind, and words, offer obeisances to the Lord. Jivanti sambhugatam bhavadiyavartam stane te srugatam tanaman manobir ye prayaso jitopasi thai strilokyam. Anybody who prayas, again the word prayas has come, anybody who tries in this way, you give up this jnana and karma, forget about all this thing. You just endeavor to hear from the mouths of the pure devotees about Krishna. Anybody who ye prayaso jitopasi thai strilokyam. Krishna is another name, Prabhupada says, ajita. Means unconquered. Anybody can conquer God? No one can conquer God. You can hear in the tape, Prabhupada. No one can conquer God. He's ajita. But if somebody sits down in the Bhagavatam class to hear about Krishna, Krishna becomes conquered. Just like we said, everybody's chatting on Facebook, Messenger, WhatsApp, all these things, on the phone, on the TV. So many chats are going on. Just like we can get the Bhagavatam class and all the programs on the radio. So somebody gave me a radio one time. It had three different bands. And each band, there's so many hundreds of channels. And nothing going on about Krishna. Every day, every city has hundreds of newspapers printing the news of this material world. And then after it's over, they put it in the bottom of the kitty box for the cat to pass stool on it. Useless. We read it, then we let the cat and the dog cat pass stool on it. All nonsense thing going on. So Krishna becomes so shocked. Somebody sat down to hear about me. Jita, he becomes Jita. He becomes conquered. Although he's Ajita, Jita, he becomes conquered by such a devotee. Jnane prayasam udapasya namandeva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya bhartam stane sita shrutigatam tanuvan manobir ye prayaso jitopasitai strilokyam. He's Ajita in all the three worlds, but he becomes conquered by such a devotee. This is the most important, to hear about Krishna. Then we can do all these other things. How we can surrender, we don't know who to surrender to. First we have to hear from the pure devotee. So this is the most important verse. And then we'll see. At this point, Sri Mahaprabhu replied, "This is all right." This is the... He asked, what is the goal of life and the means? Here is the goal of life, to hear about Krishna from the mouths of the pure devotees. But still, you can speak more on the subject. Now this is the point. Now we'll go further. Ramana Roy then replied, "Ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the essence of all perfection. As long as there is hunger and thirst within the stomach, varieties of food and drink make one feel very happy. Similarly, when the Lord is worshipped with pure love, the various activities performed in the course of that worship awaken transcendental bliss in the heart of the devotee." Verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds of thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price. That is intense greed to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. Hearing up to the point of spontaneous love, the Lord said, "That is all right. But if you know more, please tell me." In reply, Ramananda Roy said, "Spontaneous loving service and servitude as exchanged by master and servant is the highest perfection. A man becomes purified simply by hearing the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose lotus feet create the holy places of pilgrimage. Therefore, what remains to be attained by those who have become his servants? By serving you constantly, one is freed from all material desires and is completely pacified. When shall I engage as your permanent eternal servant and always feel joyful to have a perfect master?" Hearing this from Ramananda Roy, the Lord again requested him to go a step further. In reply, Ramananda Roy said, "Loving service to Krishna rendered in fraternity is the highest perfection. Neither those engaged in self-realization of appreciating the Brahm, effulgence of the Lord, nor those engaged in devotional service while accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor those under the clutches of Maya, thinking the Lord an ordinary person, can understand that certain exalted personalities, after accumulating volumes of pious activities, are now playing with the Lord in friendship," as cowherd boys. The Lord said, "This statement is very good, but please proceed even further." Ramananda Roy then replied, "Loving service to the Lord in parental relationship is the highest perfectional stage. O Brahmana, what pious activities did Nanda Maharaj perform by which he received the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his son? And what pious activities did Mother Yasoda perform that made the absolute Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna call her Maya and suck her breasts? The favor Mother Yasoda attained from Krishna, the bestower of liberation, was never obtained even by Lord Brahma or Lord Shiv, or even by the goddess of fortune, who always remains on the chest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu. Your statements are certainly getting better and better, one after another, but surpassing all of them is another transcendental mellow. You can speak of that as the most sublime. Conjugal attachment for Krishna is the topmost position in love of Godhead. When Lord Krishna was dancing with the gopis in Rasa Leela, the gopis were embraced around the neck by the Lord's arms. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or other consorts in the spiritual world, nor was such a thing ever imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, girls whose bodily luster and aroma resemble the fragrance of lotus flowers. And what to speak of worldly women? Who may be very beautiful according to material estimation. Suddenly, due to feelings of separation, Lord Krishna appeared among the gopis dressed in yellow garments and wearing a flower garland. His lotus face was smiling, and he was directly attracting the mind of Cupid. There are various means and processes by which one can attain the favor of Lord Krishna. All those transcendental processes will be studied from the viewpoint of comparative importance. It is true that whatever relationship a particular devotee has is best for him. Still, when we study all the different methods from a neutral position, we can understand their higher and lower degrees of love of Godhead. Just like we have a thimble, you know, for sewing so you don't get poked in the finger. There's a little shaped like a little cup, you know, you put it in. So only a few drops of water will fit in, but when it's full, it's full. Then we have a glass, when it's full, it's full. It has so much more water than the thimble, but when it's full, it's full. If we have a bucket, it has many, many glasses of water, but when it's full, it's full. And when we have a big lake, it has millions of buckets of water, but when it's full, it's full. So everyone in his, whether he's a servant of Krishna or cowherd boy or a mother or father or gopi or whatever, wife or whatever, everyone is fully satisfied, but when from a neutral position we can see that this one is more ecstatic than other one. But everyone in his own position is fully satisfied. Increasing love is experienced in various tastes, one above another. But that love which has the highest taste in the gradual succession of desires manifests itself in the form of conjugal love. There is a gradual order of improvement in transcendental mellows from the initial ones to the later ones. In each subsequent mellow, the qualities of the previous mellows are manifested, counting from two, then three, up to the point of five complete qualities. As the qualities increase, so the taste increases in each and every mellow. Therefore, the qualities found in Santa, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya are all manifested in conjugal love, Madhurya Ras. The qualities of material elements, sky, air, fire, water, earth, increase one after another by a gradual process of one, two, and three. The last stage, element earth, all five qualities are completely visible. Just like in the sky, we have sound. But we cannot see the sky, we cannot touch the sky, we cannot smell the sky. Then air, suddenly there comes the touch. We cannot see we can hear the air. It's like now if you go to Barsana and walk on the Geberran forest, now the lu is blowing and you will hear. So air we can hear, we can't see it, we can't smell it, we can't taste it. But we can hear it and we can feel it. Then fire suddenly we see. We can not only see it, we can feel it. We can hear the fire, crackle, 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 crackle. Then water comes taste. The water all the other things are there in the water. And finally earth comes smell. All the things. So in all the stages of love of Godhead, all the others are automatically mixed in up to conjugal love. Everything is mixed there. Complete attainment of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna is made possible by love of Godhead, specifically Madhurya Ras or conjugal love. Lord Krishna is indeed captivated by this standard of love. This is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna told the gopis, "The means of obtaining my favor is loving service unto me. And fortunately, you are all thus engaged. Those living beings who render service unto me are eligible to be transferred to the spiritual world and attain eternal life with knowledge and bliss." Lord Krishna has made a firm promise for all time. If one renders service unto him, Krishna correspondingly gives him an equal amount of success in devotional service. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. In Bhagavatam it said, Lord Krishna cannot proportionally reciprocate devotional service in the Madhurya Ras. Therefore, he always remains the debtor to such devotees. When the gopis were overwhelmed with dissatisfaction due to Lord Krishna's absence from Ras Lila, Krishna returned to them and told them, "My dear gopis, our meeting is certainly free of all material contamination. I must admit that in many lives it would be impossible for me to repay my debt to you, because you have cut off the bondage of family life just to search for me. Consequently, I am unable to pay you. If you please be satisfied with your honest activities in this regard." Although Krishna's unparalleled beauty is the topmost sweetness of love of Godhead, his sweetness increases unlimitedly when he is in the company of the gopis. Consequently, Krishna's exchange of love with the gopis is the topmost perfection of love of God. Although the son of Devaki, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a reservoir of all kinds of beauty, when he is among the gopis, he is nonetheless becomes more beautiful, for he resembles a Markata jewel surrounded by gold and other jewels. So God means he's the topmost thing of everything. So there can't be any, there's no question of more beautiful. He's the most beautiful. So there can't be more beautiful. But still Krishna, he's achintya. He's beyond our ability to think. So in the company of the gopis, although he's the most beautiful, he's the mostest beautiful, still he becomes even more mostest beautiful. This is totally, we cannot, if you say such a word in your grammar class, the teacher will slap you. But he becomes more most beautiful in the company of the gopis. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "This is certainly the limit of perfection, but please be merciful to me and speak more if there is more." Ramananda replied, "Until this day, I did not know anyone within this material world who could inquire beyond this perfectional stage of devotional service. Among the loving affair of the gopis," Ramananda Roy continued, "Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna is topmost. Indeed, the glories of Srimati Radharani are highly esteemed in all scriptures. Itarada priya Vishnu stasya kundam priyam tata sarva gopisu saivaika Vishnu ratyanta balava." Just as Srimati Radharani is most dear to Sri Krishna, her bathing place, Radhakund, is also dear to him. Among all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the supermost and very dear to Lord Krishna. The gopis began to talk amongst themselves, "Dear friends, the gopi who has been taken away from Krishna, nanyaradita nunam, to Sukut, must have aradita, worship the Lord more than anyone else." Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Please speak on. I am very happy to hear you, because a river of unprecedented nectar is flowing from your mouth." During the Rasa dance, Sri Krishna did not exchange loving affairs with Srimati Radharani due to the presence of other gopis. Because of the dependence of others, the intensity of love between Radha and Krishna was not manifested. Therefore, he stole her away. If Lord Krishna rejected the company of other gopis for Srimati Radharani, we can understand that Lord Sri Krishna has intense affection for her. Ramananda continued, therefore, hear from me about the glories of Srimati Radharani's loving affairs. They are beyond compare within these three worlds. Finding herself treated equally with other gopis, Srimati Radharani displayed her tricky behavior and left the circle of the rasa dance. Missing Srimati Radharani's presence, Krishna became very unhappy and began to lament and wander through the forest to search her out. Lord Krishna, the enemy of Kams, took Srimati Radharani within his heart, for he desired to dance with her. Thus he left the arena of the rasa dance and the company of all other beautiful damsels of Braj. Being afflicted by the arrow of Cupid and unhappily regretting his mistreating Srimati Radharani, Madhava, Lord Krishna, began to search for her along the banks of the Jamuna River. When he failed to find her, he entered the bushes of Vrindavan and began to lament. They say that this is Imli Tala. He sat under that Imli tree and thinking of Radharani, chanting Radhe, 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 his whole body, his blackish body became golden. Simply by considering these verses, two verses, one can understand what nectar there is in such dealings. It is like freeing a mine of nectar. Although Krishna was in the midst of hundreds of thousands of gopis during the rasa dance, he still kept himself in one of his transcendental forms by the side of Srimati Radharani. Lord Krishna is equal to everyone in his general dealings, but due to the conflicting ecstatic love of Srimati Radharani, there were opposing elements. The progress of loving affairs between a young boy and a young girl is like the movement of a snake. On account of this, two types of anger arise between a young boy and a young girl: anger with cause and anger without cause. When Radharani left the rasa dance out of anger and resentment, Lord Krishna became anxious because he could not see her. Lord Krishna's desire in the rasa circle is certainly perfectly complete, but Srimati Radharani is the binding link in that desire. The rasa dance does not shine in the heart of Krishna without Srimati Radharani. Therefore, he also gave up the circle of the rasa dance and went out to search for her. When Krishna went out to search for Srimati Radharani, he wandered here and there. Not finding her, he became afflicted by the arrow of Cupid and began to lament. Since Krishna's lusty desires were not satisfied, even in the midst of hundreds and thousands of gopis, and he was thus searching after Srimati Radharani, we can easily imagine how transcendently qualified she is. Srimati Radharani ki! After hearing this, Lord Chaitanya said to Ramananda Roy, that for which I have come to your residence has now become object of truth in my knowledge. Now I have come to understand the sublime goal of life and the process of achieving it. Nevertheless, I think there is something more ahead, and my mind is desiring to have it. Kindly explain the transcendental features of Krishna and Srimati Radharani. Also explain the truth of transcendental mellows and transcendental form of love of Godhead. Kindly explain all these to me, but for yourself, no one can ascertain them. I do not know anything about this. I simply vibrate the sound you make me speak. I simply repeat like a parrot whatever instructions you have given me. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Who can understand your dramatic performance? You inspire me with the heart, make me speak with the tongue. I do not know whether I am speaking well or badly. Mahaprabhu said, I am a Mayavadi and renounced the order of life. I do not even know what transcendental loving service to the Lord is. I simply float in the ocean of Mayavad philosophy. Due to association with Sarvabhauma, my mind became enlightened. Therefore, I asked him about the truths of transcendental loving service to Krishna. He told me, I do not know about the topics of Krishna. They are only known to Ramana Roy, but he is not present here. After hearing about your glories, I have come to your place. But you are offering me words of praise out of respect for a sannyasi or one in the renounced order of life. Whether one is a Brahmin or sannyasi or sudra, regardless of what he is, he can become a spiritual master if he knows the science of Krishna.
Kiba vipra kiba nyasi sudra kene naya, ye Krishna datvit feta se guru haya. Most important verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu continued, please do not try to cheat me, thinking me as a learned sannyasi. Satisfy my mind by describing the truth of Radha and Krishna. Sri Ramananda was a great devotee of the Lord and a lover of God. Although his mind could not be covered by Krishna's illusory energy, although he could understand the mind of the Lord, which was very strong and intense, Ramananda's mind became a little agitated. I am just a dancing puppet. You pull the strings. Whichever way you like, you make me dance. I will dance. My Lord, my tongue is just like a string instrument. You are its player. Therefore, I simply vibrate whatever arises in your mind. Then he began to speak on Krishna Tattva. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is personally the original Godhead, the source of all incarnations and the cause of all causes. There are innumerable Vaikuntha planets, as well as innumerable incarnations. In the material world, there are innumerable universes, and Krishna is the supreme resting place for all of them. The transcendental body of Sri Krishna is eternal and full of bliss and knowledge. He is the son of Nanda Maharaj. He is full of all omnipotent potencies, as well as spiritual mellows. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has the eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. In the spiritual realm of Vrindavan, Krishna is the spiritual, ever-fresh Cupid. He is worshipped by chanting of the Kam Gayatri Mantra with the spiritual seed, Klim. The very name Krishna means that he attracts even Cupid. He is therefore attractive to everyone, male and female, moving and inert living entities. Indeed, Krishna is known as the all-attractive one. When Krishna left the Rasa dance, the gopis became very morose. And when they were grieving, Krishna appeared in yellow garments, wearing a garland and smiling. He was attractive even to Cupid. In this way, Krishna appeared amongst the gopis. Each and every devotee has a certain type of transcendental mellow in relation to Krishna. But in all transcendental relationships, the devotee is the worshipper, Ashray, and Krishna is the object of worship, Vishay. Let Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, be glorified. By virtue of his expanding and attractive features, he subjugated the gopis named Taraka and Pali and absorbed the minds of Shama and Lalita. He is the most attractive lover of Srimati Radharani and is a reservoir of pleasure for devotees in all transcendental knowledge. Krishna is all attractive for devotees in all mellows because he is the personification of the conjugal mellow. Krishna is attractive not only to all devotees, but to himself as well. My dear friends, just see how Krishna is enjoying the season of spring. With the gopis embracing each of his limbs, he is like the amorous love personified. With his transcendental pastimes, he enlivens all the gopis and the entire creation. With his soft, bluish-black arms and legs with symbol lotus flowers, he has created a festival for Cupid. He also attracts Narayan, who is the incarnation of Sankarsan and the husband of the goddess of fortune. He attracts not only Narayan, but also all women headed by the goddess of fortune, the consort of Narayan. Mahavishnu said, talking to Krishna and Arjuna, I wanted to see both of you, therefore I have brought the sons of the Brahman here. Both of you have appeared in this material world to reestablish religious principles. You have both appeared with all your potencies. After killing all the demons, please quickly return to the spiritual world. O Lord, we do not know how the serpent Kali attained such an opportunity to be touched by the dust of your lotus feet. For this end, the goddess of fortune performed austerities for centuries, giving up all desires and observing austere vows. Indeed, we do not know how this serpent got such an opportunity. Lord Krishna's sweetness is so attractive that it steals away his own mind, and thus even he wants to embrace himself. Upon seeing his own reflection in a bejeweled pillar of his Dwarka palace, Krishna desired to embrace it, saying, alas, I have never seen such a person before. Who is he? Just by seeing him, I become eager to embrace him, exactly like Srimati Radharani. Ramananda Roy said, I have thus briefly explained the original form, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hare Krishna. So this chapter goes, it's an ocean of nectar, goes on and on and on. But our time has come to end. So we'll say a few things about Chaitanya Charitamrita, because today it appeared. We know Krishnas Kaviraj had a brother who had no faith in Lord Nityananda. And his best friend, Miniketan Ramdas, came, was chanting the glories of Nitai. And Krishnas Kaviraj's brother insulted him and threw him out of the house. So Krishnas decided, I cannot stay in such a house. He left his home and decided to kill himself. But instead he came to Vrindavan. When he came to Vrindavan, everyone knew that his name was Kaviraj. He was the king of the Kavis. They thought somebody should write down the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So they asked him. He went before Lord Madan Mohan. Immediately the garland from Madan Mohan fell and landed on his neck. So he accepted it as the Lord's order that he should write. And he writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, my eyes can't see, my hand is shaking. Still by mercy of Rupa Raghunath, I'm writing this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that was written there on the bank of Shamakund, in Radhakund. As I said, there's a beautiful feast today there at 12 o'clock if you want to go and see the place where Chaitanya Charitamrita, we're just swimming in ocean nectar today reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. That was just a few kilometers away from here, that's where it was written. So we can go visit that place, put our head in the dust of that place. There's a nice feast there today at 12 o'clock. So anybody wants to go? So this day, on the disappearance day of Ramananda Roy, Krishnas Kaviraj completed Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. So any questions or comments? There's no questions or comments, and we can fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who translated this Chaitanya Charitamrita to drown us in this ocean of transcendental nectar. Srila Prabhupada ki.